It's the ERP Confab. I'm David Essex, Editor-at-Large at Search ERP. Oracle Cloud migration raises big questions about which ERP applications to move, how best to integrate them, and which cloud platforms to use. Is Oracle Cloud infrastructure always the best choice? We'll get answers from John Ezel, co-founder of Bias Corporation, an IT services provider and Oracle partner. John, first of all, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
How would you contrast the cloud infrastructure strategies of SAP and Oracle when advising clients? I don't think you folks actually do SAP implementations, but you do Oracle ones. But I would imagine that folks want to know what the differences are. SAP has certainly moved away from the infrastructure and really outsourced it to hyperscalers. Oracle has really the whole cloud stack, which is really part of their value proposition. Very proud of that. Although I did see in reading a Gartner report that they do offer integration with AWS and Microsoft Azure. And I think that you can also run Oracle systems on those too. So I guess in light of all that, John, I'm wondering, when does it make sense to buy the entire Oracle cloud stack?
So good question. To your previous point, Oracle has partnerships with all the hyperscalers, especially Azure with a great partnership that was announced last year. Where we see the most Oracle on Oracle opportunity is where you've got ERP, whether it's eBusiness Suite, PeopleSoft, JD Edwards, so forth. You want that to run on Oracle because you want one neck to hug, right? You don't want finger pointing back and forth and which the hyperscaler's down or there was a security breach over here. And then when you want to have those ERP systems, which are the crown jewels of the organization, right? Your financials, your HR, all those key applications, you want those totally secure. So all the way down to the chip layer and to the storage, and then anything Java-based, that's great running on Oracle. Where you have .NET applications or where you have a single instance Oracle database that's non-real application clustered database based application, those are fine to run in Azure and AWS and other places. But anywhere you've got a clustered environment, anywhere you've got ERP, Oracle ERP, it should be running on Oracle OCI, in my humble opinion.
So there is some capability to run on a couple of hyperscalers. Why would someone choose to do that instead of using OCI?
A lot of IT policy is dictated by where that IT team came from, right? So if you've got an experience on IBM or you have an experience on AWS or Azure, it's more of a preference, almost like a religious discussion. Honestly, we don't see it. We don't see Oracle ERPs running on any other platform other than OCI. At least we haven't in our customer base.
So when does it make sense, assuming they are an Oracle customer, maybe they're moving JD Edwards, they maybe going to Oracle Fusion ERP Cloud. When does it make sense maybe to just do the SaaS application, you know, and not go as deep into the stack? Or does it? Does it make sense to do that?
Where you would go just Oracle SaaS might be where you have edge-based applications that are kind of best of breed on other clouds. AWS has some fantastic edge applications, as does Azure. And then maybe when you have a analytics search engine-based workload that's running on Google Cloud, GCS, that's where you could say, hey, I'm gonna go Oracle Cloud Financials and I could integrate in with those other hyperscalers. We're really talking about multi-cloud then. That's really the only scenario I could think of.
You mentioned multi-cloud. What are the scenarios where people are needing to go multi-cloud? And what are some of the challenges that come up with that?
You know, I think every customer we have is multi-cloud. And when I say that, we've got customers that leverage ServiceNow, Workday, Salesforce, all these wonderful, great SaaS-based applications. And then whether we're doing a lift and shift of an on-premise system to OCI or whether we're doing full SaaS, you know, with no on-premise, every one of those implementations that we've done have some third-party integration. And that's just the way of the world. You know, not one provider is going to be able to give you everything you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things that I'll applaud the entire community on is the leveling of the terminology, the leveling of the pricing, you know, data transfer costs are going down or being normalized across all these different clouds. So all of the vendors out there are playing a little bit better in the sandbox and giving the customer a better experience. That's where we see it happening. We see it happening everywhere. And for all those reasons I mentioned before in previous answer.
So the providers are doing a better job of maybe handling the integration. I would imagine the multi-cloud integration among the clouds is an issue. And so you feel like they are doing a better job of having partnerships and working that stuff out?
Yeah, we see a lot of the applications exposing APIs that can play with any provider. And we're also seeing kind of multi-cloud gateways with our partnerships with Equinix and other of those network providers that are providing nice kind of plug in, almost like a little firewall that allows you to plug and play different applications. So the integrations are becoming a little more simplified maybe. And it's just that, you know, we're also building up our libraries and our, you know, our test cases and our trainings around all those different integration points, because with the hundreds of customers that we have, every single one of them is different, but every single one of those implementations we learn from, and we build a template and then it's reusable later on. So, you know, it is getting easier as we ramp up our implementations and as the cloud, the ubiquitous cloud matures.
We follow all the ERP vendors on the website, and we've certainly noticed with SAP and many of the others, I guess I'd have to include Oracle, we've certainly seen that the SaaS, the full multi-tenant SaaS ERP products, you know, they tend to be more generic. The vendors essentially admit that. And there's a sense that one thing you're getting is you're going to best practices. You may be more generic, but you're adopting the best practices that are built into the system, which is a benefit that you get back. But you often lose the chance to have the customizations, for one thing, that you might have had in your on-premises ERP. So I'm wondering, John, when you're working with companies at Bias Corporation, what are the ones that say have Oracle eBusiness Suite or JD Edwards? What do they have to be willing to give up if they migrate most of their processes to Oracle Fusion Cloud ERP?
So you hit on it before, but I'll tell you, two or three things that you give up right off the bat is you give up controlling your own upgrade cycle. You give up patching. You give up coordinating the patching between all those different tertiary applications. So you give that up, but you do get a chance to do a gap analysis and really evaluate all those customizations that you've developed over the years. And the great thing about SAP and great thing about Oracle is you were given an application, and these companies and these customers and these public sector organizations, they expanded these applications with hundreds or thousands of customizations. And some of that functionality is now intrinsic in SaaS, right? So if you do an evaluation, think about all that patching you've done over the years, those upgrades that you passed over and didn't do because of, you know, all the upgrades, and you customized yourself into a corner, you give that up. Maybe that functionality is already built into the application, so you never have to worry about that patch again. And all those third party, those Kimleys, if you will, or those extensions and those customizations and those integrations, maybe those are all plugged in. But after you do that gap analysis, and we call that our true north, it's kind of our roadmap and our analysis and kind of business gap and technical gap analysis. Once you do that, then you can say, all right, well, at least if I can get 80% of what I have today, and then the 20% that I don't have, maybe I can do that as an extension in the PaaS layer, the platform as a service layer, the integration layer. And then eventually, as that functionality becomes intrinsic into the SaaS product, I can shut that off. That's the ultimate goal. But then customers that are, say, manufacturing customers, that functionality might not be there yet in SaaS. So then you have to go with kind of an on-prem and cloud solution, a hybrid solution.
What are the situations where people end up with hybrid cloud? Because I think on your website, I read that, you know, hybrid is often the solution they end up going for. And so what is it about their typical situation where they would have to do that? You mentioned manufacturing as one, but any others?
So manufacturing is one. And then you have, you know, we do a lot in financial services. We deal a lot with federal government and many different entities, utilities, retail. Where you might have a hybrid scenario is hey, I can move my financials, I can move my GRC, I can move some aspects of my supply chain, I can move that into the cloud right now. That's there, it's proven, lots of folks have already done it, that road's already been paved for you. If I'm, like I said before, in process or discrete manufacturing, some of that secret sauce or some of that functionality that I've created over the years, I'm not ready to put that into the cloud yet, or the functionality is just not there yet. Another scenario would be anything that's industry specific that may not be certified yet in the cloud, whether you're dealing with, you know, some public sector entities or some financial data that's not been vetted and there might not be a precedent yet for it to be in the cloud. Those are some of the ones that are still hanging back on-prem that we've seen. And then you just have to do the hybrid cloud integration between those two.
I'm always curious to know how much of it is integrating the business processes themselves and how much of it is like a lower layer, like the database or middleware type, or maybe it's all of the above.
It really is all of the above. Doing that gap analysis where you're able to map the business process first and you say, okay, here's what we have and here's what we need, and whether that's going to be on-prem or in the cloud, that's going to be up for a roadmap discussion that everybody puts it on the whiteboard and we all agree on. And then from the integration, some of it is easy. You know, some of it, you know, you've got APIs already laid out. You've already got a kind of that integration platform already established. And then some of it you have to create on your own. And so we're still building some of those out. But I think it's one of the best practices that we've implemented is having those kind of tough discussions up front and showing what the dependencies are. Here's what it's going to take to integrate. Here's the testing that your folks are going to need to do, you know, from the customer side and from our side. Yeah, it's a bit of both still.
I saw that BIOS offers something called Transform to the Cloud, which is a toolkit for helping on-premises Oracle application users convert their data to the SaaS products. What exactly does that do and why is it important to use it?
What it does is it's a data migration and conversion tool. So if you're on eBusiness Suite, PeopleSoft, JD Edwards, and you want to go to Oracle Fusion SaaS, then we built a tool that pulls maybe up to 70% of your data over and converts it into the SaaS module. You know, all your setups, your configurations, it maps it into it. That saves weeks or months of time with a full crew, right? And that saves a lot of money. It also provides what we've built into that. I touched on it before, the trainings and the testing cycles that are also plugged in that you have to do for any successful implementation. And those are big, they take up a lot of time and it's a lot of cost, right? So every good integrator has something like this. And if they don't have it, you should probably run. Mm-hmm. And to be competitive, we had to come up with that. And that's really the new arms race, is who has the, you know, obviously customer service is number one, but then you take it back a layer and it's going to have to be that conversion tool and then that customer experience on how much stress that you put on to that client team on what they're doing around testing and training and the data conversion.
So I know that BIOS offers managed services for on-premises data centers, and you also offer private clouds and some other options. It has certainly seemed like for quite a few years now, cloud infrastructure providers, including some of the app vendors, but also some of the service providers, have tried to give people the best of both worlds by bringing together some of the scalability, flexibility benefits of the cloud, but still maybe allowing them more of the on-premises or private cloud model. I guess the first question I would ask is, do you agree that that's been kind of a tendency in the industry?
Yeah, I do. That's a fair statement.
What would be the sort of the more recent trend in terms of how much you find customers wanting to control things and get the customability of on-premises ERP, but then maybe some of the benefits of the cloud? Are they showing a preference for, let's say, more scalability or flexibility in terms of ramping up capacity, or like what are they going for when they try to get the cloud benefits while still having kind of an on-premises setup?
Great question. So I can tell you, and we have videos out on our website and YouTube and such, customers are willing to give up the customizations and the kind of bespoke nature of the applications they've created over the years to get that market agility, to be able to move to the cloud and then be able to plug in different applications and to be more agile with their business. So we have seen absolutely that. You know, US Silica is one that gave a nice speech on our website and YouTube that talks about just that, that they were able to give up the functionality to gain more business agility. And it wasn't even a cost issue. It was they were even going for cost neutral, even though they saved quite a bit of money. They were able to give up some of the customizations to get that business agility. Office Depot was the same way.
Is it more realistic, though, to expect that they would need to move to SaaS, like a full SaaS application, to get some of the benefits? Or can they really still like stay with eBusiness Suite?
Absolutely. Yeah. In those cases, actually. So US Silica was on JD Edwards and Office Depot was on EBS. Now, the path is to move eventually to SaaS for at least Office Depot, but you can gain those benefits by moving to OCI. You can have 10x performance increases. And you know, then you're out of the data center business and you've shifted that to a BIOS or another integrator that provides, you know, managed services. So that's happening now. And I think, you know, with the pandemic, it just accelerated everything.
So I've seen in some of the online resources that I checked out that you've talked about industry specific clouds. And it's a term I've heard IDC use at the various conferences I've been to. What are industry clouds in your view? What are they exactly?
So it's a blend of many different applications that are key to a specific industry. So we work a lot in the utility space, for example, and utility companies have very complex billing engines. And so Oracle, for example, purchased a company called Portal, a fantastic billing engine that works really well in utilities and telecom. Well, if you could take that along with demand planning and maybe Primavera for big project management and that kind of thing, if you could put that all into a cloud and have business processes mapped between all those different applications, then a customer could effectively move from their on-premise systems where they're managing all these different silos of applications. They could migrate to, say, an Oracle cloud or an SAP cloud and be able to plug into this group of applications and get the functionality that they're looking for, and hopefully faster, better, cheaper. We are seeing those mature right now because every industry has certain demands on what they're looking for. And then you see these ERP providers really trying to build them out, make them bespoke for a couple, and then have it proliferate through the industry. So we're on the ground floor of those, but you know, we're seeing them mature now.
Where do the different vendors fit in? Is that always going to be one vendor? Like if you're involved, is it always going to be an Oracle utilities cloud, or you're going to have SAP stuff in there, Infor, et cetera?
What we're seeing now is they're getting about 80% of what their customer's looking for with internal applications. Those are the big vendors, like SAP and Oracle are doing that with kind of in-house tools. And then there is a consortium of the big ERP players and even some of the midsize that are working with industry to bring in niche players that fill in any gaps they may have. And again, this is in the kind of the first step from what we see, but it could be where you're going to see more of a hybrid type of a cloud, if you will. And I was just thinking more like if you were to go to the Oracle cloud, theirs is going to be obviously populated with more of their tools, but then they're going to pull in best of breed where it makes sense. And I think SAP is going to do the same.
So if we can take a step back and maybe look more at the big picture of the ERP industry in particular, they've been trying to move customers to the cloud, all the vendors really, for quite a while now, especially I think SaaS ERP. I think maybe at least from the vendor point of view, the SaaS is going to be easier to sustain in the long run. What, if anything, do you think the ERP vendors could be doing better in trying to provide these SaaS offerings in particular, or maybe other cloud offerings like managed cloud, private cloud, that kind of thing? What could they be doing maybe a little better than they have so far?
Some of the feedback that we've received is on the SAP cloud, they're offering up from various hyperscalers and they go in with one contract and one SLA. And that's great. That part is really good. The part where they could be a little better is having more of a one neck to hug when you go in, because you still have to negotiate with Google. You still have to negotiate with Alibaba for all your setups. And then you have to go, you know, kind of plug all that in together. So you're pulling three teams together there to make that happen. So that's a little clunky on the SAP side. on the Oracle side, and I think this would be applicable to both, is data ingestion, you know, and the physical move of that data, that can be a problem with the larger ERPs. So developing out some best practices there and sharing that with the partner community would be something that we would recommend. And again, that goes on both sides, SAP or Oracle. Also, I guess more training and knowledge transfer on the roadmap for when functionality is going to be released, because Oracle releases functionality about every 6 weeks. And our job is at BIAS as a managed services provider would be to, you know, we're continuously training and getting our customers ramped up so they actually use the functionality that's coming down if it's applicable. So I think better education of the roadmap and the functionality that's coming down would be somewhere they could improve on.
So do you think there'll always be a need for on-premises ERP?
Everything is moving to SaaS. Especially we've seen it over the past year where, you know, we've accelerated that move, that digital transformation. We've seen them accelerate, you know, maybe up to 3 to 5 years. I still think there'll be a need for on-premise because there are some companies, public sector entities that have secret sauce or they have security compliance type things that may always be on-premise, and they may always want to stay in that business of controlling that for whatever reason. But they will have some part of their business, some part of their entity in the cloud. It may not be everything, but it will probably go to more of an 80-20 type scenario where you have 20% on-premise and 80% in the cloud. But I think there'll probably always be a home for it.
Earlier, you talked about platform as a service, and I know that's been a way to extend the cloud, but it's also a way to extend on-premises, actually. So maybe the converse of the question I just asked about on-premises ERP is, what do you think is going to happen in terms of the capabilities of SaaS? Like, you know, one of the trade-offs people say always is that you can't technically customize it, but you sometimes people say, well, you can configure it. You know, you can do certain things to make it more your thing. And then, but then it appears to me as a layman, a non-techie, that the development tools, the capabilities from extensibility from, I guess it's mostly PaaS, platform as a service, that maybe that allows you to have the best of both worlds in terms of variety in the cloud.
Absolutely. And what we're seeing a lot of right now is application modernization, where you have a lot of these custom built applications that we've built for dozens of years now. I mean, 20, 30 years. We built these custom applications and they're very complex. And we're seeing that either that functionality gets folded into SaaS, or the ones that won't be folded into SaaS for whatever industry specific application it is, they're moving to low code. And that's allowing us, you know, from a PaaS perspective, to integrate in with those lower code type of applications and consolidating the functionality of those applications into fewer and fewer. And they're not that expensive to maintain as the traditional custom applications. You will just start seeing those turn on and turn off versus building a custom application and maintaining it for decades. Mm-hmm. So it gives a lot more flexibility to the customer.
Well, John, that seems like a good point to end it on. I appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you.